Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today, Richard Ershik, trade show industry veteran for over 50 years, evolving from being a company's exhibit manager to one of the most respected voices in post-show sales lead management and exhibitor training. He's also the author of two books that tell his captivating industry story, Trade Shows Don't Cost, They Pay, and From Problem to Profession.
Trade show leads are not only the seeds of sales. The trade show is by far the most cost-effective marketing communication tool available today, the trade show, for the simple reason you mentioned just a minute ago. The exhibiting companies didn't have to do anything, basically, to get that prospect to come right to their booth. The elimination of those sales calls today, with the expensive sales calls, air travel, car rental, hotel accommodations, meals, entertainment, all that, golf course, it eliminates all that cost because the trade show brought that person face to face. So it puts buyers and sellers together the most cost-effectively of any other marketing.
Over three decades ago, Richard identified the industry's widespread failure of post-show sales lead follow-up, which persists till date. Richard founded a very successful marketing services company that processed over 1 million sales leads, helping 147 companies turn their trade show leads into real sales. Richard led the company to generate over $10 million in revenue and was named one of the most innovative companies in the country and a best practice in trade show marketing by American Airlines. Rich later sold his business and dedicated the next chapter of his career to training exhibitors, delivering more than 350 in-person seminars and online workshops to more than 50,000 professionals. He has been featured speaker at the Exhibitor Show in Las Vegas for 18 years and named to Trade Show Executive Magazine's Who's Who in Exhibitor Education. Known for his no-nonsense approach, sense of humor, and unforgettable real-world stories, Rich's mission has always been simple. Help companies stop wasting money at trade shows and start converting their leads into measurable sales results for a positive ROI. Now, onto this truly relevant conversation with Richard Ershik. Richard, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted to have you here and thank you for making time so early in the morning.
Well, thank you and good morning. And it's great to meet you finally.
Yes.
In the real world instead of on the keyboard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we did manage to do this very, very quickly. And I'm really thankful to you for that. Before I actually dive in, what changes have you seen over this long career in trade shows? What were the major milestones? I mean, we talk about COVID being a milestone because that really changed and shook things up as far as the trade show business is concerned. I'm certainly have seen other similar change moments. What would you say they were?
Well, I think first off, I want to point out that everything I talk about today and everything I teach regarding trade shows, I do it from having been an exhibitor. Most other companies and most other presenters and speakers, they all talk about trade shows without the real exhibitor experience. So I've been on the trade show floor and I know what it's like to be an exhibitor. And I think to answer your question specifically, trade shows kind of just chugged along, and it was kind of status quo until COVID. Now, we all experienced the paralyzation of the trade show industry during COVID. I mean, it literally stopped.
Yeah.
And I think what really hurt the industry is the exhibiting companies had no alternative other than to let go or fire their experienced exhibit managers. They couldn't afford to keep them on anymore because they weren't involved in trade shows.
Right.
And then during that long, drawn-out COVID problem, we'll call it, it finally changed, corrected itself, and now companies started to re-engage and start to exhibit again, and they gave the exhibiting responsibility to people in their companies with no experience. And I think that has been the biggest problem, because that problem lingers even to today. It seems like the level of experience inside of exhibitors' companies has just deteriorated. And that's problematic, but it's also opportunistic for companies today.
Right. Obviously, it has been a very challenging situation, and the reaction has been sort of like what you do when you run a factory, because you believe that everybody is replaceable by somebody else. Yeah. While in this case, people who had the experience, that was not really a tradable commodity.
I totally agree. It takes years to develop exhibit manager experience. It takes years to understand how to work with contractors. It takes years to understand how to get your way around in a venue. It takes years to establish pre-show, during show, and post-show procedures that are effective in your trade show program. And if you keep replacing people with that experience, you lose the experience.
Yeah.
And I think those are the three critical aspects of trade show exhibiting today: for what you do before the show, how you engage visitors during the show, and then the sales leads after the show. I wrote an article many, many years ago that said that sales leads are the seeds of sales. And I've proven through my entire career that real return on investment, all of the elusive ROI that everyone is talking about today, ROI lies in the results of the show, not in the activity. It's in after the show. It's in those leads that, unfortunately, or fortunately for me over the years, exhibiting companies totally mismanage.
You know, I talk to exhibitors and I cannot understand their reluctance to make the process accountable. Why is it that when you talk to exhibitors, because they're spending the money, really, I mean, think about it. They're spending the money. I mean, till they make the sale, it is their money which is really on the table, yeah. Not their customers' money. What really sort of is the psychology there?
Well, I hope your audience doesn't think this was rehearsed, because that's a question. If you look at us on the screen right now, you're going to notice that you have more hair than I have. And I lost mine from trying to answer that question you just asked. Here's the way I look at it, again, from personal experience. I think, and even from my own experience from having spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to exhibit in a trade show, the money that's spent on trade shows is really not at risk. It's already budgeted, and there aren't too many people really scrutinizing that expense. Now, I think as business drops off, CFOs, the chief financial officers inside of companies, are going to start asking the question, what did we get from that trade show? What did we get from that $300,000 we spent for 4 days? And I think when exhibiting companies have to start answering that question to the CFOs, I think, or I hope, things will change. Because you're right, I've spoken to thousands of exhibit managers who have, in the same conversation you just mentioned, and although they talk about the need for ROI, they really don't do anything they don't do much to try to generate it.
Before we started this recording, you mentioned that it is more like a party for the sales folks and a vacation for the marketing. and pit it against the fact that the companies who participate in trade shows, And these are not data I'm making up. These are available in research documents, elsewhere. That 60% of their pipeline is dependent upon the trade shows.
Yeah.
Now, yet, Richard, I mean, my experience is nowhere near what you have. Okay, so let's be very clear about that. So whatever I say, you may say, Shivanjan, I don't know what you're talking about. But let me share something. Last year, 2024, I spent in 6 locations across the world talking to exhibitors and attendees. The attendee component, which is the final source of the money, is completely a black box. Okay? There is no attendee association, rightly so, because it's a very complex thing. How can you have attendee association? What is there to gain from attendee association and so on? But irrespective of where they are and who is coming into the show, if you are not serving them, then outcome is not going to happen. Anyway, the point I'm making is I spoke to 200 exhibitors and 200 attendees across these 6 locations, 4 in North America, 2 in Europe. Okay. And everywhere the attendees told me when I asked what was remarkable in this or what is it that stood out to you? And my sample size is very small, 200, but literally everybody said nothing. Nothing stood out. Oh, yes, I met Tom after 3 years. Yeah. That was great.
Right? Yeah.
Talk to exhibitors. I'm asking them, how do you engage? How do you talk? Why is your salesperson on his mobile phone when he should be talking to somebody else? Why are you talking to... Well, we had 1,400 people who came to our booth and asked for the swag. But after 1 year, we'll have 3 conversations going. Does it sort of sound familiar to you, or am I like completely off?
You are 100% accurate. And again, I don't have the answer to this, but I certainly have the same experience you're referring to. And in and amongst all of that activity, that non-productivity that you just talked about, I've been fortunate enough to have built a company and solved the lead follow-up problem, but I can't solve that problem. And it's amazing to me that trade show organizers don't pay more attention to their exhibitors and the exhibitor problems that we're talking about right now. Exhibitor problems go far beyond understanding how to complete the pages in an exhibitor service manual. They need help with what we're talking about right now. They need training. They need to be shown how to do this effectively because they don't know. And as you just mentioned, those attendees, they'll remember where they saw the big flashing light in aisle 4, but they have no idea what company was there. They have no idea what product they were selling. They remember where the black carpeting was amongst all the colored carpeting or the white carpeting, but they have no idea where it was. So we are 100% on the same page here. And I wish, well, I think I did find a solution to it many years ago. It's incredible to me, and I'm sure the problem still exists today. When I heard 40 years ago that less than 20% of sales leads ever get followed up after a trade show, that statistic, very fortunately at the point in time in my career, was the foundation for my company. But that problem still exists today. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm sure you're going to ask the right question to prompt the answer to that. But I've lived the problem you're talking about right now. And everybody watching this knows that problem.
This is a great segue to get into it right now. I think, tell me, what prevents people from actually focusing on the problem? And what, to your mind, is the solution?
I have answers to both of those. First of all, and I remember the gentleman, rest in peace, he's been gone for a few years, but he said this to me once 30, 40 years ago when I started my business, when he asked the same question you just asked, or when I asked that same question, and he said, nobody cares. There's no reason to care. Nobody's holding anybody accountable. Everybody's involved in the activity. Nobody talks about the results, so nobody cares. But the real answer to the problem is in those sales leads, because those attendees you mentioned before visited trade show exhibitors. They went in the booths and they had engaging conversations with exhibit managers and salespeople, and they expressed interest in the product that was on display. But after the show, less than 20% of them ever get contacted. So there's the problem. There's the missing link. That's where the chain breaks. And it's bridging that. It used to be a gap. Now it's a chasm. Bridging that chasm is the answer to this trade show ROI problem. I know it is. I proved it. And fortunately, I'm at a point in time in my career where I can say some things that I wouldn't normally say. But as I mentioned, nobody cares about this problem we're talking about. Nobody cares until it affects somebody's bottom line. Then everybody's going to care. But right now, it's expendable money. It's budgeted. It's not at risk. It's just spent for the party and the vacation. There's still that mindset out there today. Now, I want to clarify something here. I'm not talking about every exhibitor, but I am talking about most of them.
Yeah.
There are, and I've met some very, very efficient trade show exhibiting companies who did the pre-show promotion to invite people to their booth, who did the training in the booth to teach their booth staff how to engage and qualify and disqualify prospects and non-prospects. And then those companies who did accurately and efficiently follow up those leads and convert them to sales. And the sales from those leads is where the return on investment comes from to keep exhibiting. Now, that sounds like a very simple formula, but it's hard to get there.
Why is it hard?
Because nobody cares. Here's the biggest problem in trade shows today, and I'm looking back over 50 years, five decades, to make this statement. Here is the problem. The marketing department is responsible for the trade show. The marketing department sets up the booth, works with the venue, works with the exhibit builder, works with the I&D company, works with all the service providers. It's the marketing department. So the marketing department basically generates the sales leads. Here's the disconnect. After the trade show, they give the sales leads to the sales force. They relinquish control of everything because they had the leads and they gave them away. And the sales force doesn't have time to follow them up. So less than 20% of lead follow-up today is not, I'm not blaming the sales force for that. They don't have time because I can prove in my statistics from having processed over 1 million sales leads that most of them aren't worthy of the sales force's immediate follow-up attention. There's sales in there. There's needles in those haystacks, but the sales force doesn't have time to get to them. They have other things to do. First of all, they can't reach anybody with all the telephone obstacles and the voicemail and the automated answering machines. They can't reach anybody. The cost of sales calls is too high. They can't visit them personally. So again, in my statistics, I can prove from having processed all those leads, most of the 20% of the leads that do get followed up are existing customers.
Yeah.
They're maintaining their relationships with people they already know. They don't have time to do all of the qualification of the leads to find the valuable ones that are worthy of sales follow-up. So that took me 50 years to get to that conclusion, but that's the problem. It's the disconnect between marketing and sales. But there's a solution, and we're going to get to that.
two quick points I want to mention here. One is that this dysfunctional relationship between marketing and sales is not unique to trade shows. It is what actually happening in B2B sales. B2B sales organizations are reeling under this problem that marketing and sales are existing in two different worlds and they don't talk to each other. And some companies, as you said, are trying to solve it by bringing it under a common leader who they're calling CRO, the Chief Revenue Officer, and marketing and sales both report to this new role. And when I say new, I don't mean new, but not very prevalent still. But it is sort of a legacy that is getting carried into the trade show space, right? So it's the same brand, finally. It's the same company. What's happening outside the trade show gets into the trade show. Mm-hmm. That's one point I wanted to mention. And the other thing I wanted to mention was, it is true that everybody is not a lead ready to be converted now.
Right.
Yet, it's our job to identify where in the buying journey this person is. And if it is early in the journey, it's a great time to actually get attached to that conversation, because now we'll have a seat at the table when the time comes. It might be 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the line, depending on what we are selling and what business we are in. You are in machine tools, you know. I mean, nobody's writing $1 million checks standing in the booth.
Sure.
But this has to be sort of recognized. Having said that, let me get back to you and ask, how do you think, or how did you already solve this problem?
Well, I guess I'm talking from two different levels here. I used to be a service provider. You've read in my bio that I was an exhibit manager. I identified this lead follow-up problem. I solved the problem. I created a company around the problem. And then I provided a service of managing exhibitors' sales leads for them. They would give them to me. I would put them through a process. And I think the process answers your specific question right now. You're right. Timing is everything with a sales lead. First of all, it's a good idea, and it's probably very important, to totally eliminate the non-prospects. And you can tell who they are. They're the people who showed up for the swag to get the fuzzy monkey, as I call it, and they leave. And that's okay. They're a non-prospect. It's better to get rid of them early.
Yeah.
But in the ones that we call leads, there's a buying cycle. As you said, if it's not a point of purchase sale, they could be somewhere along the line in that buying continuum. And it's important to nurture those leads along that buying continuum. But salespeople don't have time to do that. At least the way companies are structured today. My whole contention is in today, and what I teach, is to keep all of this in the marketing department. And do all of this, I call it lead qualification, inside the marketing department. So if you get five leads, find the three that are good ones and make sure those get to the sales force first. And then the other two, you have to nurture along the buying continuum that you just mentioned. Everybody's not a hot prospect. They're not going to buy over the kiosk in a trade show booth, but they could be prospects for 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not blaming the sales force here, but the worst thing you can do is give those leads to the sales force.
Yeah.
They want orders. They don't want to spend their, or I'm not even going to say spend their time. They don't want to waste their time on non-prospects, or they don't want to waste their time on that buying continuum, especially with someone they don't know. You know, salespeople are human. They like to work with relationships that they've already established. They like to know the people. Well, marketing could be taking those leads all through that buying continuum for them. But then, as you mentioned, you have that adversarial relationship between marketing and sales. I call it the blame game. Marketing blames sales because they don't follow up, and sales blames the marketing department because the leads were no good. So you have to address that blame game first. And there's a solution to all of this. I mean, we seem to be spending time talking more about the problem, but we'll close this with a solution to this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is the right time to ask you, how do you see this getting resolved? How does one solve this and make trade show? I mean, it's such a, you know, I mean, again, to add to this, on a non-trade show day, a salesperson is trying his level best through mails, through calls, to get a face-to-face meeting.
Right.
Here in the trade show, that person is standing in front of you, and what are you doing?
Yeah. They're not comfortable on the trade show floor, first of all. They're very comfortable working in the field where they're driving around and calling on customers and looking at smokestacks and all those. But they're not comfortable face-to-face on a trade show floor. That's one serious problem.
So that's where training comes in, right?
Yes, exactly. That's where, yeah, training is the answer to that. And I don't like to use the word training because, you know, dogs are trained. This is more education. It's more
Fair
education.
Enough.
Yeah, and I think doing it for them is the magic bullet. to do all of this for them, not to expect them to do it. In my statistics, and I mentioned to you from having processed over 1 million sales leads, we made 1,600,000 outbound telephone calls qualifying sales leads to arrive at this statistic. And this exists today. It takes 7.6 telephone dialing attempts to reach anybody for anything. 7.6. It takes 3.4 telephone dialing attempts to identify a prospect. So just using those numbers, if you gave a sales person or a sales force 100 sales leads after the trade show, they've got to make 760 telephone calls to find the prospects. They're not going to do that. They're going to make excuses as to why they can't. I'm not going to say they lie about the fact that they did, but they're going to make excuses of why they can't. But they can't. And why should you expect the sales force to be making 760 telephone calls when they should be out selling their products? So yeah. Again, the solution to all of this, we're going to get back to it. The solution lies in the marketing department. And it lies in, there's a book called The Greatest Management Principle. I read it 20 years ago. The greatest management principle is things rewarded get done. So I think to incentivize the marketing department to help get to the sale is the answer to the problem.
So let's get into the solution. I mean, I think I'm extremely curious to hear what you learned from the million calls you made, million leads you reached out to, and several hundred thousand calls along with it. What was your solution and how did that play out?
Here's the biggest finding, and nobody wants to hear this. Trade show organizers don't want to hear what I'm going to say next. Exhibitors don't like to hear what I'm going to say next. But most of the leads generated at a trade show aren't worth doing anything with. Most of the leads are junk. They're garbage. Mm-hmm. They're not worth the sales force's time. However, about 11% of them are gold. They're golden. And if you can get those 11% to the sales force faster, they'll follow them up. If they know that person is going to buy something, and you can determine that by simply on the trade show floor asking 5 questions. And I think this is where everybody should pay attention and maybe even write these down. Because let's take a machine tool show. Let's take a big trade show. And by the way, I worked with BOMA in India, and I proved what I'm going to share with you right now. We did it in 2020, just before COVID. We taught their sales force and their booth staff how to ask 5 questions. In the machine tool industry, let's say that the exhibiting company sells grinding machines. Well, here are the 5 questions for a company who sells grinding machines. Are you currently doing any type of grinding in your company? Are you considering the purchase of a grinding machine? If so, when? Are you the person who makes the buying decision? And can we have a sales representative call on you? If you can get the answers to those 5 questions, every salesperson wants those leads, because those are the things that, those are the answers they can't get. So qualifying the leads first on the trade show floor and then after the show to validate the qualification, that's the answer today. Very few companies will jump through those hoops to do that, but that is the answer to trade show ROI today. And I can prove in my statistics from having been doing this for 5 decades, trade show leads are not only the seeds of sales, the trade show is by far the most cost-effective marketing communication tool available today, the trade show, for the simple reason you mentioned just a minute ago. The exhibiting companies didn't have to do anything, basically, to get that prospect to come right to their booth. The elimination of those sales calls today, with the expensive sales calls, air travel, car rental, hotel accommodations, meals, entertainment, all that, golf course, it eliminates all that cost. Because the trade show brought that person face to face. So it puts buyers and sellers together the most cost effectively of any other marketing program.
Yeah. And not only that, it's also interested prospect. It's not just a TAM. It's not your addressable market. These are guys who are interested. That's why they're spending their money to sign up. They're spending their time to come and walk the aisles for 3 days. I mean, there has to be a value to that.
Right, exactly. And the easy answer or the easy rebuttal to that is to say that if the trade show is in Las Vegas, they're coming for the gambling, or they're coming for the nightlife and the shows. Yeah. But as you just mentioned, if they're spending their company's money and their company is letting them spend the money to come to a 3-day trade show, they're coming to look at products, make evaluations with comparable products or competitive products. And if they're walking that trade show floor for 3 days, some of those people are very serious.
Yeah.
But they're getting lumped in with all the non-prospects, and they're all being dumped on the sales force, and the sales force doesn't have time. So that's the whole problem. So it's do something with the leads to qualify them before you give them to the sales force.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
So I used that word a minute ago. Not only qualify them on the trade show floor, but validate that qualification after the show. They're less likely to misrepresent themselves by direct mail or a phone call than they are in the trade show booth. So I hope that answered your question. That's a very key point in all of this. You can't always trust everything that's said on the trade show floor. Are you the person who makes the buying decision? Well, certainly I am, but they might not be. But if you ask that person after the show, are you the person who makes the buying decision? They have more of a chance to say, nah, not really. I just went to Vegas.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. Quick question. From your experience, how willing are attendees to answer those 5 questions? Because these are very pointed questions. Are you a decision maker? If I'm not, I may feel, well, I'll say yes, or if I say no, I may be less important guy, you know? So what is your experience like?
It sounds like we rehearsed this. That's why I said a second ago, and I'm going to say it again because it's very important, and I'm glad you brought us back to that. When you ask those 5 questions on the trade show floor, that person is face-to-face with you, and they can misrepresent themselves. If they're answering those questions while they're looking over your shoulder at the fuzzy monkey they're going to get if they appear to be a prospect, rather than admit that, no, I'm just the janitor and I sweep the floor. They can say, I'm the vice president of the company. So I used that word a minute ago, not only qualify them on the trade show floor, but validate that qualification after the show. They're less likely to misrepresent themselves by direct mail or a phone call than they are in the trade show booth. So I hope that answered your question. That's a very key point in all of this. You can't always trust everything that's said on the trade show floor. Are you the person who makes the buying decision? Well, certainly I am, but they might not be. But if you ask that person after the show, are you the person who makes the buying decision? They have more of a chance to say, nah, not really. I just went to Vegas. So I hope that answers that question.
It does. But still, I'll persist on that for a bit. How willing are people typically, if I'm a salesperson standing in a booth and I'm in charge of, say, in some way managing the qualified guys into conversation with my expensive sales staff, and I ask these 5 questions, how likely is it that people will be answering these questions, or they'll say, no, let it be, I'll come back later?
Some of them will do that, but again, you'll pick those up on after the show too, in the way you manage the sales leads. And I'm going to talk at the end of this on how I think the marketing department should manage those leads and how they should qualify them. But it's in that validation, and it's in what I call that overlap between the people that appeared to be qualified on the trade show floor and then validated their qualification after the show. It's those people in the overlapping circle in the middle here that are the most important to be followed up on first. But, you know, most companies, if they are a vice president of manufacturing, they have it on their name tag. They could have lied when they came in and registered, but chances are they didn't.
Unlikely, yeah.
And if they are serious prospects and they came to that show to look for, let's say, grinding equipment, they're going to have real answers to those qualifying questions. And remember, they're in the 11% that I mentioned before. Mm. You know, they're not in that other 89%. They're in that 11% who came there on a mission. You know, companies used to send buying teams to trade shows. I don't think they do that anymore, but I remember my experience with a buying team from Caterpillar Tractor. I mean, all of those people came there with the intention of buying new equipment for Caterpillar.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, I think those days might be gone.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who is familiar with this space, and he was saying that he was actually mentioning what you just said. So typically what happens is there are scouts, the people who are entrusted with looking at new technology, especially in a machine tools kind of environment or any of these kind of large industrial events. And if they identify a few that they would like their seniors to take a look at, they bring back their other members of the buying committee the next day.
Right.
And eventually they'll get their technical guys in to see whether it sets, sort of works with the rest of the equipment and so on. And that's when the conversation actually moves forward. So it may not be like all the people coming together, but they're coming in stages while the show is on. This is one example I heard somebody narrating to me.
Yeah, that's one of the things you mentioned before. What have I seen in evolution? There used to be buying teams, and there used to be five people from a company that came to a trade show, one of which might have been the scout that you just mentioned. And he or she figures out where all of the best applications are, and then they tell the rest of the people to go. Well, today, again, since COVID, a lot of these people have been eliminated, so there might only be two. And now the scout might be gone, but the two people going to the show are key buyers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an evolution today. I don't think they have these buying teams with the scouts and all that available money to support all of that activity. I think that's all been pared back and cut back.
Absolutely.
Which on the flip side, adds to the importance of being more efficient on the trade show floor and using the trade show as a face-to-face buying and selling opportunity.
Right. Absolutely. Let's talk about this entire life cycle, which is pre, during, and post show. Essentially, it is boiling down to engaging with the right attendees, right? So one key word is right, the appropriate, the 11%. How do you actually understand that the 11%? You're unlikely to possibly figure it out while you are doing the pre-show campaign. So to you, how does this entire campaign look like?
Okay.
And where do you think people are faltering? So, I mean, you can play like both the roles, right?
Sure. Well, let's dwell first of all on pre-show promotion, because let's talk about the exhibit manager. The trade show organizer for just a minute. They spend a lot of money filling the aisles of a trade show with prospects, people they think are prospects. They do a lot of marketing and spend a lot of advertising dollars to bring people to the trade show. But where are the best prospects for attendees at that trade show? The exhibitors have them. The exhibitors have the names of the best prospects in their databases, of their existing customers, of the people they've talked to before, of the people who've responded to their advertising. So teaching an exhibitor how to use the names they already have to increase not only visitors to their booth, but they increase the overall attendance at the trade show. And exhibiting companies I've spoken to most recently have never even thought of doing pre-show promotion and using their own databases, of which they have valuable prospects, to invite them to the booth. That's almost magic today. It was something that companies did just kind of automatically years and years ago. But today, that experience is gone. They never thought of it. So I'm going to answer two questions at the same time here. I think it's important today for exhibit trade show organizers to get more involved in exhibitor education to teach them how to do that. Organizers assume that exhibitors know how to go to a trade show and exhibit and increase their booth traffic and engage people on the trade show floor and follow up their leads. They don't. So I think the opportunities, one of the big opportunities, at the level of the trade show organizer today. So that's pre-show.
Right.
Should I get into during show?
You could. I mean, I just have a quick question there. Yeah. I know you saw me sort of. How well are the organizers aligned with the exhibitors' needs? For instance, I do hear from quite a few exhibitors that organizers are extremely reluctant to share attendee data before the show or even during the show. They're saying, okay, you scan the badges. If you have got 1,500 scans, I'll give you that data. But I'm not giving you my attendee list. I'm not letting you run a campaign and so on. Why is this so? I mean, I understand not parting with the database. I understand that because that's valuable data. It might go into competitors' hand and so on. So that bit I understand. But like you mentioned, that the organizers should educate exhibitors to learn how to exhibit better or engage better, should or shouldn't they actually say, look, I have a process by which I can reach your message to people who are likely to be interested in your product. It may be 20% of my attendee list. It may be 30%. That doesn't matter. I'll charge you a fee or I'll make it a part of my value delivered to you and so on. I'm not going to give it to you directly, but I'm going to run a campaign for you. Is that something you see happening, or is this something that is not getting considered at all?
Well, you asked for my input on the evolution of trade shows. Organizers used to do that. I remember, as an exhibit manager, I remember sending them information about what I was going to be exhibiting in my booth, and they did that exact promotion. They took a promotional card and they mailed it to their attendees, to their attendee list. They mailed my information to their attendee list. I think I can understand why trade show organizers today are reluctant to give away their attendee information. One is, you mentioned before, it can get in the hands of competitors. We don't want that. I don't think they need to. And I don't think they have to go through the expense of doing all of that pre-show promotion for their exhibitors, especially with the thought that most exhibitors won't value it or they won't do anything with the results of it. But I think the organizers could educate their exhibitors on how to do it themselves, because exhibitors today have not thought of doing that. I'm going to say most exhibitors that I've talked with recently since COVID never even thought of that. And it's revolutionary. I have testimonials. I can send anybody testimonials from people who said, oh my God, that's a great idea. I never thought of using my customer list to invite to my trade show. And I almost fall out of my chair when I hear that. I mean, that's so basic. But yeah. I hope that point is being driven home here, that exhibitors need education, not training. They need to be educated. And that's
fair point.
Simple. Yeah, that point you just made about trade show organizers sharing their attendee list, they don't need to. They can just teach exhibitors how to use their own names they already have. And if they do that, and I wrote an article somewhere, I'll send it to you. The amount, the increase in a overall attendance to the trade show. If, let's say, a trade show has 300 exhibitors and each exhibitor does their own pre-show promotion to their own names. I mean, that increases the overall trade show attendance for an organizer by 25, 30, 40%.
Sure.
That's huge for an organizer today. And who benefits from that? All of the exhibitors. So, I mean, there's some basics here that are falling through the cracks. And people, they not only forgot how to do it, they never did it, or they should consider doing it now.
Let's move on to the next part, during the show. What's going on? What ought to be done and it's not getting done? What do you see there?
Salespeople don't like to work a trade show booth. I can tell you that right now. Trade show people are not comfortable standing on that carpet, talking to people they don't know, especially if they look at a name tag and see that that person is from out of their territory. You know, People are people. They take the path of least resistance. And I'm going to say this, and there's a lot of exhibit managers out there who are going to laugh when I say that. Salespeople, watch them when they walk in the booth. They look for the first place they can put down their briefcase. And as you mentioned before, they're on their phone standing out in the aisle, or worse, they're standing in their own booth talking on their phone. There are companies today, one of them is in England, that does a very good job in actually providing booth staff for an exhibitor. They replace the exhibitor's booth staff with their own people trained to engage and qualify prospects. So again, if you can't afford to do that, or you want to use your own salespeople, just give the sales force expectations. Ask these five questions. Are you presently doing any grinding? Are you considering the purchase of a grinding machine? If so, when? Are you the person who makes the buying decision? Do you have money to spend? Salespeople, excuse me, good salespeople, that's not an oxymoron, good salespeople are comfortable asking those questions. If they're selling grinding equipment, they can ask a person if they're doing any type of grinding. They're comfortable doing that. They couldn't ask what kind of sewing machine your wife uses, but they're comfortable asking that question. Are you presently doing? Are you considering the purchase of? Oh, yeah, when are you thinking of buying that? Or are you the person who would make that decision if after the show we can come in and talk to you about that? Are you that person we can call it? I mean, it's all those simple questions, but they're important, and a lot of people don't ask them. A lot of exhibitors don't ask them.
Right, right. So coming back to our thread where we spoke about pre-show, so during the show, is this all that you think should be done, like ask qualifying questions and then sort of share information? What else needs to be done during the show?
I think that's certainly the most important part. It's the booth staff. It's how the booth staff interacts with visitors. I think that's critical.
Yeah.
There are a lot of other things. I mean, you could get into equipment placement and kiosks and lighting and carpet and all of that. But the important thing is, how do you engage prospects? Remember, the trade show is a selling opportunity. People have forgotten that. It's not the party and it's not the vacation. It's a selling opportunity. And you get... You generate selling opportunities from conversations. And the more accurate or the more purposeful the conversation is, the better the results are going to be.
Fair point. So if we move on now to the post-show phase, what, according to you, are the steps that one needs to take and obviously one is not taking?
Do I have room for a shameless plug here? Can I?
Absolutely. Okay. Go for it.
Trade shows don't cost, they pay.
Yeah.
This is the book I wrote based on all of this experience we're talking to of what to do during pre-show, during show, and post-show. And the most important thing related to post-show is marketing should not relinquish control of the leads by simply giving them to the sales force. In most companies today, they throw the leads over the fence and they hope the sales force picks them up and turns them into orders, and they wash their hands. I think all of this qualification should be done in the marketing department. The pre-show promotion should be done by marketing. The engagement on the pre-show and the during show side, those questions should be developed by the marketing department and given to the sales force, many of which will say thank you because nobody ever told them what they're supposed to do in the booth. So get them comfortable asking those questions. And then lastly, respond to the leads with the process I talk about in this book and validate the information that was gathered on the trade show floor. So the sales force spends their time productively calling on their best leads first. And take a machine tool show. Big capital equipment, very expensive. Generate 100 leads. You can find 3 leads out of that show that turned into orders. That trade show expenses cost justified. That's the return on investment everybody's looking for.
And they're not getting it.
Right now, you ask a company if they have any sales that are directly attributed to the trade show, they can't answer that.
So that's an interesting point you raise, because with this abundance of data, everything getting tracked, how is this falling through the crack?
How is it falling through the cracks? Most companies today, I'm going to say a lot of companies today, have very sophisticated and complicated CRM programs. You know what CRM is?
Yeah.
That was a big thing in the 80s. Everybody had a CRM machine. Well, with the CRM, an exhibitor would take those 100 leads we talked about, and it's the old garbage in, garbage out. They put 100 leads in the CRM, 100 leads come out, and the 100 leads are given to the sales force. The CRM doesn't do anything to qualify them.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The critical word in everything we're talking about here today is qualification, lead qualification. And then secondarily, the second most important word is disqualification.
Yeah.
It's important to disqualify the non-prospects and only spend time on those prospects. And, you know, again, in my bio, and if anybody stalks me on LinkedIn or anywhere and sees my background, I've been doing this for 40 years. And again, I can prove trade shows are the most cost-effective form of marketing communications today, if they're managed correctly. Hmm. And unfortunately, that's what everybody's trying to do here. They're trying to tie some type of return on investment to trade show activity today. And it's very difficult to do if exhibitors relinquish control of the leads and they get mismanaged. And you'll hear people today talking about ROO, return on objective, ROE, return on experience. In my mind, those are secondary. It's all about ROI. It's all of the chief financial officer wants to know how many dollars we got to offset the expense of that trade show.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me about your own journey in terms of setting up the company and your million lead processing story. So tell us a bit about that.
I'm in a very unique position in my life because based on that success, I can be a little transparent in what I've seen over the years. But again, way back when I was an exhibitor, I identified this poor lead follow-up phenomenon, and I solved that problem with a process of managing the leads. And then I saw how successful that process was because in the company I was working for as an exhibit manager, I was generating sales from the trade show. Well, it's at a point in time during that time that I realized every company had the same problem. I thought it was just our company. Well, long story short, I turned that process into a company that I managed for 22 years, made a lot of money, found a lot of sales opportunities for our clients. And in 2009, I sold my company to one of its biggest clients. And I embarked on education. I have a passion for teaching people the things we're talking about right now. So I was highly recognized in the trade show industry for a lot of years. I made over 350 in-person, online presentations and in-company workshops teaching exhibit managers how to do that. So that's where my passion was. And I was an instructor. I've been a featured speaker and presenter at the Exhibitor Show in Las Vegas for 18 years. And today I still teach. I got wrapped up. I'm a lifelong learner. I got wrapped up in AI technology, and now I'm teaching companies how to use ChatGPT. And I just put together a ChatGPT training program for the trade show industry. Another shameless plug here. My website is exhibitortrainingwebinar.com. If you go to that website, I now teach how to incorporate ChatGPT into this trade show environment. But I start by teaching people what ChatGPT is. A lot of people use that phrase today, ChatGPT, and they really don't know what it is or how to use it. So I start with the very basics, and I show them what that is first, and then how it applies to the trade show industry. And again, another shameless plug, there's another book, and I'll be happy to give you a link to all of these, but this talks about my entire journey, how I identified the problem of lead management, lead follow-up, poor lead follow-up, and it talks about the solution I provided, and then it teaches people how to look around at solving problems in their own company, because it can be very fruitful. So I've had a fun time.
So Richard, would you like to explain a little more about your process so that our listeners get a sense of what is the right directional thought that needs to be brought into the organization?
I'm gonna mention the success of my company from having done what I'm going to explain to answer your question specifically. When I first started the company over 40 years ago, the service company, we used to call everybody by telephone. So we made 1,600,000 outbound phone calls, calling sales leads and asking them those five questions. We used to do it by phone. Telephone contact, after about 15 of those 22 years I was in business, became almost impossible. Couldn't reach anybody by phone. Answering machines, automated voicemail systems, couldn't reach anybody. So I changed that entire telephone qualification activity to a unique form of direct mail. And I'm sure some of your viewers and listeners just fell out of their chair. But direct mail is effective again today because direct mail gets through the noise of those telephone attempts. So in this book, I actually show exhibitors how to design what I call the customer satisfaction questionnaire that gathers those answers to those five questions. And I suggest that if you're going to mail literature packages to everybody after the trade show, to include that questionnaire. If you're not going to include literature packages after the show, you can mail that questionnaire in an obtrusive mail package, like a tube or an ob-sized envelope, something that gets to people's inboxes. So it's a very simple process, but it's a very effective process. Because, how do I say it? What was old is new again. And direct mail works in ways that's incredible today. Think about your own world. If I turn this camera and you looked at my inbox, you know, it's got junk in it like this. But if there's a tube in it, and inside that tube is a qualification questionnaire, I'm gonna get that tube first because it looks different. So again, yes. It's all explained in here. It's a very simple process, as I mentioned, but it was very fruitful for me. It put me in a very comfortable life position. All I can say is it works. And rather than think it doesn't, all I'm asking you to do is try it.
Yeah.
So all of the lead follow-up I talk about today is done with direct mail.
Right. Okay. So the company who bought your system and your company, are they actually offering it for others or are they just using it in-house?
They changed the entire concept because the company that bought it, the person in the company that bought it, was a pioneer like I was, and he found something even more fruitful than managing the sales leads after a trade show. He took the company in an entirely different direction, and I commend him for it. He's been very successful with it. But I started it in the trade show industry, and when I sold it, it started out in the trade show industry and then branched off into something totally different. So a simple answer to your question, no, they no longer do it. Nobody's doing it. This teaches people how to do it. And right. This teaches people how to do it.
Last two questions. One.
Yes.
What are your parting advice to organizers and what are your parting advice to marketers? So you can take it two separate questions and share your thoughts.
Thank you. I think, first of all, the organizer.
Yes.
The organizer's success goes far beyond selling concrete floor space to exhibitors. They should get involved in education. They should make the commitment to educate their exhibitors. Teach them how to exhibit in a trade show they don't know. Trade show organizers today are great at providing that exhibitor service manual timely and introducing the exhibitors to all the service contractors, making sure they've got electricity and furniture and carpeting. And their requirement goes far beyond that today. Teach your exhibitors how to exhibit in a trade show. And as far as my advice for exhibitors today, don't give the leads to the sales force expecting them to follow them up. They're not going to. The less than 20% lead follow-up has been a problem for as long as I can remember. And I'm so grateful that you contacted me, understanding what the problem is, at least recognizing it, because that's the answer to trade show ROI today. It's in the leads. And the more effective the exhibitor is at managing those sales leads through the entire selling cycle to get to the sale, that's where the ROI is. So trade show organizers, educate your exhibitors, exhibit managers, maintain control of the leads all through the cycle, the qualification steps, and only give the good ones to the sales force. That's my advice.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com. Richard, I really appreciate your coming on the show and sharing your thoughts. And I think this is not a topic which ends with this conversation. I mean, you know, I'm really literally thinking that this should be a show on its own, how to convert leads in trade shows. That should be the show.
I would love to do that with you. I would love to do that with you or someone who is really concerned about this problem and solving the problem, because this would make an incredible show.
Yeah, I think so too. And we should talk about it. And
okay.
We will continue this conversation. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I hope to talk to you again soon, and have a wonderful day.
Great. Thank you very much.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.